Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
Thanks for joining us for Youth Voices on the Mormon Channel, the official media channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Stephanie Tobar, and I will be leading our youth panel discussion today on friends. Joining me in studio today are Ian Thomas, Brittany Eldridge, and Gabriel Ledoux. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
First, let's have each of you tell us where you're from and how old you are.
I'm Ian Thomas, and I'm from Draper, Utah, and I'm 15 years old.
I'm Brittany Eldridge. I'm from Draper, Utah, and I'm 13 years old.
I'm Gabriel William Ledoux. I grew up in Minnesota, but right now I'm living in Ogden, Utah, and I'm 13 years old.
I'm Stephanie Tobar. I'm 18, and I'm from Chile, but I'm now living in Taylorsville, Utah. Let's get started then. Do you guys think it's okay to have good friends who are not members of the church?
I think it's okay to have good friends who aren't members. I have a few friends that aren't members, and I'm trying to be an example to them so that maybe they can join the church and I still have their friendship.
Yeah, well, first of all, being a member of the church doesn't automatically ensure that person follows the standards. There's like this funny example that my best friend told me. Going to church doesn't make you LDS just as much as standing in a driveway makes you a car. So as long as you have a friend that shares your interests and your spiritual values and moral standards, they're a great choice for a friend. And if they're not a member of the church and they still have those qualities, then that gives them a great opportunity to introduce them to the church. So
I think the key word here, though, is good friends, because you can be very good friends with someone, but that doesn't necessarily make them a good friend. I think as long as they know your standards and they respect your standards, I think it's okay.
I had a friend from all the way back to third grade. She was an LDS, but she had my same standards, so I was comfortable around her, and she ended up being baptized in the church.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
She still.
Yeah, that's
really cool.
That's
what I
Thomas S. Monson taught, quote, "Everyone needs good friends. Your circle of friends will greatly influence your thinking and behavior, just as you will theirs. When you share common values with your friends, you can strengthen and encourage each other. Treat everyone with kindness and dignity. Many non-members have come into the church through friends who have involved them in church activities." Close quote. We've been counseled to choose our friends carefully, but we've also been counseled not to judge others. How can we do one without doing the other?
I think that the scriptures tell us to not judge unrighteously, not to judge. Mm-hmm. Because we make judgments every day.
Yeah.
But if we're judging unrighteously, then that's what we're not supposed to do. So you can choose our friends carefully and do both and choose the right both ways.
Yeah. I've always been taught to, not judge just the same. But I think I'm the kind of person that gives another person a chance to be a friend and for me to be a friend to them. But as long as they respect my values and standards and not try to challenge them, because I've had situations like that where they're like, oh, come on, just one sip of coffee isn't going to kill you or anything like that. But it's hard not to judge people because you kind of have to in a way. But I think as long as you're keeping them in mind and yourself in mind and you're keeping your standards and letting them do their own thing, I think that's what matters.
Yeah, I try to choose my friends really carefully, because if you don't, then you may end up with somebody that could turn you astray from the church. But you don't have to judge them. You could just say, well, maybe I can still be their friend, but I don't have to judge them.
Yeah. Well, the best way to start off this question is to remind us what the definition of judgment is. It's the process of forming an opinion by discerning and comparing. And those are really necessary to picking a good friend. Because, there's no way, we're making a conscious choice to like or dislike things about a person and why we're inclined to do so. So I expect to be chosen as a friend by the measures that I take to choose mine. So choosing good friends is always going to require judgment, but it is our responsibility to make those judgments fair and honest. So,
As Brittany mentioned, the Joseph Smith translation of Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not unrighteously, that ye be not judged, but judge righteous judgment." So what's wrong with having friends with lower standards?
I had some friends with some lower standards a few years ago, and they were trying to influence me to do some things that I didn't believe were right. And so I didn't want to leave those friendships because I had them for such a long time. So I prayed about it, and I realized that I didn't have to, like, leave those friends. I just had to find maybe some new friends, but I could still be friends with those people. So it's not wrong to have friends with lowered standards, but, like, they may turn you astray. Yeah, they may influence you to do wrong things. So It's better to have friends with your standards, but I don't think it's wrong to have friends with lower standards.
I think it all kind of depends on how strong your testimony is, because I think no matter what, you're always going to be acquainted with people with lower standards. But I remember in junior high, trying to fit in, that meant it, or it equaled trying to lower your standards. And I remember lowering my standards so I could be cool. And it was not cool at the end of the day. And I later realized that it's not okay, because, I mean, it's okay to talk to people with lower standards and be nice to them and not judge them. But just not let their influence get to you and reflect your character and the person you are. So,
yeah. Well, theoretically, nothing is really wrong with having a friend with lower standards if you are confident that you're strong enough to lift that friend to your high standards.
Yeah.
And you can continually be a good example in spite of their bad influence. But in reality, that really sounds like gambling. You're taking a big chance that you really shouldn't. So, I mean, I'd be better off sticking with a sure thing, having a friend with my standards and having a friend that, like a regular friend with good standards. That's what I think.
My best friend in the whole world, she's like my sister. I grew up with her. She doesn't have the same standards that I do. She's not a member of the church. And she tries to have an influence on what I do. And she knows me as the girl that's Mormon and doesn't do anything. But she tries to influence me into doing things that she knows I can't do. And if it weren't for having a firm testimony, I think I probably would have, slipped a couple times with her. But having friends with lower standards, I think it all depends on how strong your testimony is.
I think the only problem with having friends with lower standards is that you can get pressured into doing something that you don't want to do. So I think what you would do if you did have friends with lower standards is you bring them into your group of friends rather than being pulled into their group of friends.
Yeah, it's,
because then they'll get influenced with your group rather than you getting influenced with their group.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And if you are friends with someone with lower standards, it gives you the chance to show them. And if you're confident in your standards and you're not just like, I can't really do it because I'm Mormon, but you're like, I know I'm not supposed to do this, and this is why I believe I'm not supposed to do it. Maybe they'll look up to you and the confidence that you have in your standards. So let's listen to Elder Jairo Mazzagardi's advice from October 2010 General Conference.
Often become prey to sin to start with someone choosing friends whose standards are not consistent with the gospel in order to be popular or to be accepted by peers. The person then compromises gospel principles and laws, going down a path that only brings pain and sadness to this person and to his or her loved ones.
What happens when you can see the good side to someone who is considered wild? You feel for him or her and want to help bring them back to a good way of life. You can see that they desperately need a good friend, but you don't want to get pulled into their behavior yourself.
Well, you can't really impose a good way of life. So until that person is ready for a change, there's not much you can do. It's good to keep like a distance from that person, but be there for them and support and encourage them when they do make right choices and stuff, and withdraw yourself when they choose bad choices. So that's what I think.
There was a family in my ward, and they had a nephew that they wanted to bring into the church. So they saved up enough money to get him a plane ticket to come to Utah. And when he got here, he didn't want to join the church. So he just sat around and went to his job, and then he came back and slept and just repeated that. And they really wanted him to join the church, and he was doing some things that they didn't really, like, think were their standards. So they had the missionaries go over, and he said, oh, I don't want them. And then one day the missionaries came, and he said, okay, fine, I guess I'll try it for once. And then he started listening more and more, and a few weeks ago he was baptized, so... So it just takes a little working, and I guess you can change anybody's way of life into your standard.
Yeah, you should.
A good way of life.
You really shouldn't, like, you never should give up on them, because that wouldn't be good. But, yeah, just support them when they're doing the right, and always just nudge them towards the good side and do whatever you can. But
I think, like, the fact that you are in their life and they're having a hard time in their life doing the right things, the fact that you're in their life and you're someone that they can go to for help and someone that they might keep in the back of their mind when they are confronted with a decision that might mean choosing right from wrong. That already, I think, is a start for them to start changing. And also just being a good friend and not judging them for what they do, I think that helps a lot. Because when I was having a hard time in junior high, back to my junior high days, I really appreciated those that stuck around, the friends that stuck around with me and helped me and didn't judge me. And they could have easily just walked away and been like, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. But they were like, Stephanie, you can do better than this, you know. So being a good friend is a big part of helping someone who's considered wild.
Yeah, being an example to anybody, that's probably like the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. How can we do what is right and still be accepted by our friends?
I think that if you have friends that aren't accepting you for your standards, then you've got the wrong friends. You need to have friends that build you up and accept you for your standards.
Mm-hmm. If we made good choices of friends, we really don't need to be any different than being ourselves, because we should all have the same interests and standards. And like Brittany said, if your friends don't accept your choices, then they really shouldn't even be your friends, because you should always feel comfortable around your friends and doing what you usually would do.
I think just standing up for what you believe in and being an example, I think your friends will admire that. If your friends have lower standards or different standards than what you do, they shouldn't be having a hard time accepting who you are if it's something better, you know? But it's, like I mentioned before, it's about having confidence in what you're doing. So, yeah. Elder Richard G. Scott explains, quote, "You don't need to compromise your standards to be accepted by good friends. The more obedient you are, the more you stand for true principles, the more the Lord can help you overcome temptation. You can also help others because they will feel your strength. Let them know about your standards by consistently living them. Answer questions about your principles when you are asked, but avoid being preachy. I know from personal experience that works. No one intends to make serious mistakes. They come when you compromise your standards to be more accepted by others." Close quote. That is so true, because with my best friend, I totally try and be preachy with them, be like, well, Article of Faith 4 says, like, and it never works. Trust me, it doesn't work. You have to be a friend first before you're a missionary.
Yeah.
That's so important. I learned that from my own personal experience.
I had a friend that she was LDS, but she didn't come to church a lot, and she just wasn't really, like, excited about the gospel. And so we always tried to, like, invite her, but she just didn't really have any friends in our class. And so we figured out that you just need to be their friend first. Like you said, I started getting closer and closer with her, and we became really close friends, and she started coming to church and Young Women's, and wow, now she just comes regularly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was this girl that came from Ecuador, and I go to a Spanish branch, and she was visiting her family, and her family that was here, she wasn't a member of the church, and they were. So she was going to stay here for, I think, a month or two, and they had a goal, and they wanted her to get baptized. But I guess them wanting her to get baptized really bad, and she felt really pressured to be baptized, and she was seeing the missionaries and everything, but I try to be a friend with her. She was in Young Women's with me, and I try to be a friend to her first, and she would explain to me how she felt so pressured about getting baptized, and the baptism date was set and everything, but she felt like it was too fast. Yeah. And so I try to be a friend, and with being a friend, I guess you tend to share your testimony, and you're an example at the same time with being a good friend. So she saw that I was a member of the church, but I wasn't pressuring her into joining the church. So she saw that, and she understood that her family just wanted the best for her. And she saw that they just wanted her to have the gospel in her life, and she accepted it. And at the end, she did get baptized. So
yeah, I should always leave the decision up to them.
Mm-hmm.
I always leave it when they're ready.
You're listening to Youth Voices on the Mormon Channel. Today, we are discussing friendship. For some youth, whether or not they have friends at church can affect their church attendance. What can I do to make others feel welcome at church?
Like that last quote said, it said, don't be preachy. And I think you have to be a friend, like you said. You have to be a friend before you can be a missionary. And if you're too preachy, that may like pressure them too much and they may want to leave. So just you have to be a good friend.
Yeah. Well, first day of junior high will always relate to everything. So for people that don't have friends at church, Sundays can be like the first day of school. Like in my first year of junior high, I didn't know who anybody was, and I really didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But then this girl just said, "Hi, Gabriel," when I was at my locker, and it made my day. And so So just ask the person questions and just talk and be kind and include them in conversations or other activities and just make them feel included. And maybe just saying hi, Gabriel. I mean, not hi, Gabriel, but like just saying hi or just
giving a warm smile.
Yeah. A warm smile or just welcoming them to church and saying glad they'll be there. Just make them feel welcome.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I remember having a hard time because it was high school, you know, and you're a sophomore, squashmore, you know. So when I was walking down the hall, I was just kind of having a long day, and I was just ready to go home. And there was this girl, and I always looked up to her as well because I always noticed that she was so modest in everything. And in my school, that's not like the coolest thing, but she was very modest, and I always admired her for that. But she was walking down the hall, and she just smiled, and she was like, "Hi, Stephanie." And I was just so happy. Like, she just radiated. It just made my day. Just a warm smile and saying hi just makes a whole difference, and that can apply at church as well. You don't just have to be a good, you know, friend just at church. You can apply that at school as well. And when I was at Beehive, I was extremely shy, like so shy. I wouldn't smile back or anything. And I remember the Laurels trying to reach out to me, and I felt so bad for them. They were having a hard time with me, and I knew they were having a hard time with my shyness. But I was so grateful for them and for the girls that especially just try to go out of their way to include me. And I still remember that to this day. And I see them sometimes, and I'm just like, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I mean, I turned out okay, hopefully, but thank you for doing that. Let's listen to Elder Russell M. Nelson's advice.
As a member of the church, reach out to those you do not know and greet them warmly. Each Sunday, extend a hand of fellowship to at least one person you did not know before. Each day of your life, strive to enlarge your own circle of friendship.
Elder M. Russell Ballard also teaches,
brothers and sisters, we members must help the conversion process by making our wards and branches friendly places with no exclusivity, where all people feel welcome and comfortable. Teach the children, youth, and adults that being warm and friendly are Christ-like qualities.
So how can we be a good friend, and how can we have good friends?
Like Gabriel said earlier, just saying hi or giving a warm smile, that's being a good friend, because that can make anybody's day. And you can have good friends by just supporting your standards and, yeah.
There's this pretty cool quote that I learned in my art class. If you go out searching for friends, you'll never find anyone. But if you go out to be a friend, then they'll be everywhere. So being a good friend should be a search for making other people's day brighter. And doing so gets you the bonus package of having good friends. So it kind of, it's a two-in-one thing. Just by doing service and having that outward-reaching spirit, you can have good friends and you can be a good friend. Because good friends will always accept and appreciate a brighter day.
Whenever I think of about being a good friend and making good friends, I go back to the basics and I think about being loyal and not gossiping and doing those little things that make a really big difference.
It's so easy to gossip too these days.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that too, but just holding back and being nice, you know, just be nice. Oh, and while I was in school, I remember thinking and just looking at all my friends in my lunch table, and I was just like, your friends reflect who you are. And I noticed how my friends were just like laughing and just like joking around. I was like, and I never noticed that, and how your friends can reflect who you are and the kind of person you are. I think it's really important to be loyal as well. But being a good friend means you're going to have good friends, and having good friends means mm-hmm. you're a good friend.
So I had a friend that was really good at just letting, like, being happy for me. And so I remember, like, going on a trip, and I called her and I texted her during it, and I was just saying, like, what we did that day. And she would just be like, oh, I'm so happy. I hope you have so much fun for the rest of your trip. And she never tried to compare and say, like, how good this trip was when I went on it. Or, like,
yeah.
She just said, oh, I hope you're having a great time. And she was never, like, jealous, like, said, oh, I wish I could have come with you. She just made the person feel good about what they were doing and never tried to top it.
Well, For the Strength of Youth teaches, to have good friends, be a good friend yourself. Show interest in others and let them know you care about them. Treat everyone with kindness and respect. Go out of your way to be a good friend to those who are shy or do not feel included. What can you do when two of your friends are fighting with each other?
That's always really hard. Well, one time, while we were hiking in Adams Canyon, my best friends, who were their brothers, they were just bickering on something not really significant. And after a while, I just said, the smarter of you two will stop the arguing. And it was, like, really quiet for a while, and then the next thing you know, they were apologizing. And so when your friends are fighting, make it a priority to show them how unimportant the reason of the argument is compared to their friendship. Because the spirit of argument, my mom says always says this, the spirit of argument is the spirit of Satan. So just...
Wow.
I know, it's pretty straight to the point, but...
My bishop always says that it takes two to make a fight. And I think it's important to be a good friend to both of them, not just kind of turn your back on one and be a good friend to the other, but try and be, like, you know, a mediator between the argument and try to solve it yourself, but not try and get yourself in the argument as well. Be loyal, but keep both of their best interests in mind as well.
Yeah, my brothers, I consider them my friends, and they're always fighting with each other because I have three younger brothers, and it's rough. And they're always fighting, and I never know what to do to help my mom. So usually I'll just start playing the piano or nice. Play like a funny song or something, and they'll start smiling, and then I'll say, and they'll usually figure it out themselves. But if there's like happiness, then there usually won't be like fighting.
Are you the oldest?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I see just fighting all the time between
my
younger siblings, and it's kind of hard because they do look up to you as the oldest.
Yeah.
Like, solve this right now, or you get blamed for it.
Yeah.
You guys are all saying you're the oldest. I'm the youngest in my family. So I imagine that I was the one that everyone was trying to get to stop fighting with, my older brother. But the thing that always made us, like, happy is, like Ian said, when you were playing, when there's, like, happy music or a hymn playing, you always kind of felt guilty arguing
yes.
that there's a hymn playing. And you realize how unimportant it is when you're arguing mm-hmm. and you stop.
Yeah, my mom usually starts singing, like, a hymn. She's like, there's love at home. And we're all, like, beating each other up. But usually that stops,
like,
the fight.
Like, just punches, and you're just like...
Yeah, then we stop.
And, like, look back at him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
That usually solves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hymns are a great way.
Yes. Well, moving on. How can you not let a boy or girl get in the way of a friendship?
Not dating until you're 16 is a great, great rule, because they're so right, even though some teenagers don't think it is. It's so right, because dating when you're younger than 16 is like putting a finger in front of your face. Like, when you look at the finger, all the rest of the surroundings blur out.
Yeah. And, so, and it doesn't make it exciting either.
It doesn't. And then, I mean, so you just lose focus of all your other friends when you, and instead of just dating, just have friends, have as many friends as you want. And you can just focus on all of those and just have a fun time with all of those instead of just focusing on just one friend and making that your one priority, kind of like, you know.
I had my bishop talk to me about dating on my way to girls' camp one year. And I was like, so what do you think about dating and stuff in high school? And he was like, I think it should be okay. I mean, you should be able to date around and have fun with your friends, but your universe shouldn't be all centered around this one person. So what can you do if you want to be friendly but you're shy?
Well, it's a good thing to remember that other people could feel the same way, and usually our fear is bigger than the reason for it. And also, praying is a good way to overcome shyness because, I mean, Heavenly Father will support you if it's for a good cause. If you just want to be friendly and show that outward hand, but you really, you want to stick it in your pocket instead, you Heavenly Father will help you in that. And you always want to take the first step because you can't really run a marathon without taking the first step. So just overcome your fear and pray, and you'll get
just step out of your comfort zone, you know. Yeah. And when it happens to me a lot, when I run into people out in like public or at the mall, I kind of just want to be like, I didn't see you. But what helps me to overcome my shyness is thinking of someone that isn't shy and is very outgoing, and I'm like, okay, I want to be like that person. You know, you learn to do by doing. And if you put yourself out there and you just kind of set your shyness aside, you really don't have room for shyness.
Yeah, being shy is hard. You're like nervous to like talk. I was shy when I was younger, and I'm not quite sure how I got over it. I just kind of, you just have to take the first step. And so as long as you're trying to be friendly and trying to do your best, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's always a process.
And if you kind of put them first and kind of put your shyness or your feelings aside, and you kind of let unselfishness, I guess, take place, you don't have any room for shyness that way.
It starts off by saying hi back to someone. Then it starts by you saying hi to that person first.
Yeah.
And
there
then
you
it
go.
Starts to talking to a person back, and then you actually talking towards. I mean, it really, you just have to work on it. If you want to be friendly, then practicing in front of a mirror, saying hi, and
practicing
not blushing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
a good way. But
it's embarrassing to admit, but I have practiced in front of a mirror.
I've practiced in front of a mirror too.
But it really does help, though.
It's really good to be outgoing.
And making eye contact. That's the thing that bugs me the most about myself. Yes. That was a big thing about me with eye contact and making eye contact with people. And so I just started practicing with my own family. Like, I mean, you obviously make eye contact with the people you know, but just start making your way outside of your close circle and just practicing with strangers as well. I mean, I smile at strangers. I don't know if that's creepy at all, but I smile and just kind of try to be happy. But practicing in front of a mirror or with people you know, it definitely helps overcome your shyness. Elder L. Tom Perry says, quote, "I was very shy in high school, and I did not take advantage of opportunities to enlarge and build my talents. I was afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. Have confidence in yourself. You won't succeed the first time on anything you do, but successive attempts will bring confidence in the development of new talents." How can we help a friend who is shy?
I have a few friends that are shy. Like, at my lunch table, there was one kid that came and sat next to us, and I could tell that took a lot to come and sit next to us. And and so I tried to say hi, and he just was kind of like, oh, hi, and just kind of put his head down and didn't really look up. And so throughout the year, I was trying to, like, help him and just say, like, hi every day or so, and hoping that that would maybe, like, help him. And then throughout the year, towards the end, I realized that I was actually doing something. Like, I didn't think it was, like, making much of an impact, but after a while, I realized I was helping him come out of his shell a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get that you're making an effort. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, I definitely noticed when I was really shy that people were making an effort. And even though it was just a hi or how are you doing, if they kept doing it. And I noticed with time that they really did care about me, and that helped me kind of open up and not be shy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you should explore what that friend is interested in.
Yeah.
And learn how to relate to them and their interest, and then share your interest with them and let him learn more about it, him or her, learn more about it. And usually by that time, you've already placed a good foundation about your friendship, and it builds up the rest by itself usually. So.
Yeah.
And that definitely helps when you're like going out on dates and stuff when you mm-hmm. get there. It yeah. helps just asking what you said, Gabe. What are your interests? What do you like to do with your spare time? Or what do you do as a hobby? You know, it definitely helps them because that gives them something to talk about. You know, it's not like a yes or no kind of answer that you're expecting. It's like, you know, an actual sentence.
Yeah.
So. I think a point that should be made is that if someone is asking questions about someone to try to get them out of their shell, you shouldn't answer for them if you're their friend. You need to let them answer so they can start coming out of their shell a little
more. Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, I've seen that at school before. Like, that friend I was talking about earlier, I noticed that I started answering for him, like, on occasion. And because I'd be, like, at the lunch table or something, and they would be talking to him, and I'd say, oh, yeah, he's going here for the weekend or something. I can't remember. But and so I tried to let him speak for himself, and because he never said, like, oh, let me talk, because he was a little, like, shy. So you have to remember that.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for Youth Voices on the Mormon Channel, the official media channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Stephanie, and thanks to our panelists, Ian Thomas, Brittany Eldridge, and Gabriel Ledoux.
Great to be
Thank
here.
You.
Thanks.
For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. To learn more about Friends, visit youth.lds.org. Thanks for listening.